Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. I'm very happy to have with me this week on University Matters, Dr. William Zammeet. Just a few words about my guest. William Zammeet holds a B.Ed. Honours, an M.A. and a Ph.D. in History, awarded by the University of Malta, as well as a diploma in Library and Information Studies. Dr. Zammeet has specialised in the study of the communication of ideas during the early modern period, with particular emphasis upon the role of printed matter. He has authored a number of books and academic papers, and also served as editor of Memoria Historica, one of the most prestigious, if not the most prestigious, scholarly journal here in Malta in that area. And he was also editor of the Proceedings of History Week. He is currently senior lecturer and head of the Department of Library Information and Archive Sciences within the newly constituted Faculty of Media and Knowledge Sciences. Welcome to the programme, Dr. Zammeet. I think that perhaps as an initial question or initial discussion, we ought to have a little look at what library and archival studies are in general and particularly in Malta, and what the situation was past and how we are in the present. And perhaps also later on we'll talk about the future plans. Yeah. So our library and archival studies.
First of all, I would like to thank you, Patricia, for inviting me on this series of interesting programs. Yes, traditionally, Malta, given our historical background, we have also always enjoyed quite a rich patrimony, both where archival material, particularly where archival material is concerned, but also where books, book collections, libraries in our country. Also, we also had throughout history a number of people who have studied, who have devoted themselves to archival and library sciences. One can mention people like for example, Mauro Nguanes and others who have contributed significantly to this area. It is a fundamentally important area. We have so much material. We have so many things which need to be done. Cataloging, organizing our collections, classification, getting really to know what we have. Also getting to know what we don't have, what we should have, especially where books are concerned, where printed matter is concerned, material which we should have in our collections in Malta, Melitensia. But we don't have it. We don't have copies in Malta, or else we might have copies, but we don't really know where they are. They are not in our national collections. They are not in our university library collections. So that is definitely an area which we have to work. We have to see what was published in the case of printed matter and try to acquire knowledge and actual copies of this material. That is the situation where we currently stand.
And we have these archives in various places, obviously. I mean, we have notarial archives.
Yes, exactly.
Church archives.
Exactly. As I said, we are extremely rich in archival material in Malta. By and large, as a country, we never experienced those great, you know, revolutionary upheavals, which in other European countries have resulted in a great loss of archival material. Okay, we had the brief French interlude. Incidentally, I've just published a paper on what actually happened to the archive of the Inquisition in Malta during French rule, and the remarkable and extremely interesting way in which we as Maltese managed actually to save this fabulously important archive for the social history of Malta. This is possibly the most important archive that we have.
Where did they hide it?
Yes, actually, what happened was it was transferred from the Inquisitor's Palace to the Bishop's Palace. The Bishop's Palace was one of the few places that the French sort of respected. And so, you know, that was the ideal thing, sort of, too. But there were a lot of things, you know, going on.
Have to read your paper.
Yes, yes, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. But we have, you know, archives of a political nature, archives that predate 1530, predate the arrival of the Knights in Malta. Of course, the extremely important archive of the Order of St. John in Malta, which is important not just for Maltese, but it has an international dimension. I mean, we get a lot of foreign researchers who want to do research, either on the history of the order as an institution, very often also family history, because you get a lot of family history in that archive. The notarial archives, again, very important from the social aspect. You get these thousands upon thousands of volumes which really recount the life of the Maltese, you know, marriage bequests. You get everything, and that's the exciting thing about it, you know. Very often the problem is that we're dealing with material which for many years has not been given its due attention. It hasn't been described. It hasn't been catalogued properly. We have had cataloguing projects, like in the case, for example, of the AOM, the Archives of the Order. It was started to be catalogued in a very detailed way back in the 1960s. This project has been going on an on and off basis, you know. So there's really a lot of work to be done. Certainly a landmark where our archives is concerned was the establishment of our national archives. Finally, we have a national institution, our national archives, that are extremely active, that are extremely important, to have this material, you know, to save this material from government departments, to have it organized, to have it cataloged. You know, there are still problems. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the usual things, lack of qualified staff, lack of financial resources. But at least, I mean, we are moving towards the right direction. Mm. The central archive is at Rabat, what was formerly the Santo Spirito Hospital. That is the central archive. But then they also have a branch in Imdina, what was formerly the Banca Juratale. Mm. And there is also a branch in Gozo, the Gozo branch of the National Archives.
You've done quite a bit of research on printing in Malta as well. I mean, with the archives that you are talking about, most of them would have been handwritten, going back to the medieval period, and therefore not printing. But then when printing came in, that set up a new type of archive.
What I've been doing these last 25 years, essentially, was combining my two areas of professional qualifications. My two areas are history and also library and information studies. I realized that we have all this printed matter, all this militantia, which, again, pretty much, as in the case of our archival patrimony, hasn't as yet received so much attention when it comes to bibliographical description, actually getting to know what is out there, what was printed, which is in any way related to Malta. So basically what I'm trying to do is getting to this material, listing it, describing it in a professional bibliographic way, so that we get to know exactly the material, the militantia material that is out there. It's amazing the amount of stuff that you come across, the amount of stuff that is not available in Malta, in our national collections, not even in private collections, although private collections in Malta are extremely important, because very often you get material there that is not in our public collections, but also abroad. It's amazing, in Italy, in France, in Britain, you find all this stuff, printed matter I'm talking about now,
concerning Malta.
When we're talking, I mean, perhaps when it's important that one defines exactly what we mean by militantia. And again, in one of my papers, I went into this thing. Look, it is so important for us as a nation to define what we mean when we say militantia. I mean, we've been using this word for ages now, you know, but. What we really mean by militancy is as yet not clear, okay? Maletensia essentially is anything which is published and which is in any way related to Malta. That, of course, includes various categories. Not all type of maletensia may be as important as others. Newspapers, journals, books, single sheets, material, ephemera. There is a vast, vast, vast amount of material. Very often in the past, you had this idea, you know, that the books are important and perhaps the newspapers. So what actually happened was that in the national collections you would find that sort of material. The ephemera, you know, the single sheet items, the grey matter, that is mostly absent. And that is fundamentally important. That is very often the material that reached the masses of the people. So if we really want to study any aspect, you know, I mean, one of the obvious one, political history. How did our politicians in the past reach out to the electorate? You had this mass of political propaganda, you know, literary, pseudo-literary works, things being thrown during carnival. This is all fundamentally important. How can you study how our politicians in the past, you know, communicate with the people without studying this material, without having access to this material? So this is all militancia, you know. This is the area which we really need to work on.
And you've been working on various projects. One of the ones which must have required an enormous amount of work, the microfilming of the archives of the order. And I mean, how did that come about, that project?
What actually happened was the authorities in Malta had been contacted by an American institution, the Hill Manuscript Monastic Library in Minnesota. Initially, an agreement was reached between this American institution and the church in Malta for the microfilming of ecclesiastical archives. And in fact, the project started with the archives of the cathedral up at Imdina and also the archives of the Inquisition in Malta. It was a fundamentally important project. From that point onwards, at least now we have a copy of all this archival material. They also have a copy in America. And this is important. When you're dealing with archives, it's even more important. Archives are unique. If you lose a single page, if you lose a volume, if you lose an entire archive, I mean, these things happen, I mean, it's gone. Once you have, today we have electronic resources, today we have technology, so it is important for us to use technology to safeguard these treasures from the past. Following that, an agreement was also reached with the Maltese government for the same process to take place, this time with at least the most important archival collections of the Maltese nation. And it all kicked off with what is the most famous, you know, the archive of the Order of St. John. Basically, my involvement was I had to go through every single volume prior to its microfilming and, you know, provide at least a basic bibliographic description of each volume, so that bibliographic description would precede the actual pages that were microfilmed. The thing is that you always have, you know, financial considerations, time considerations, so we couldn't go really into detail where the bibliographic description was concerned. I mean, we're talking about a 6,800 volume archive, okay, with volumes, you know, you can have volumes with 400, 500, 600 pages. So that is, you know, the extent. That project was carried through, I mean, that project was completed. And again, now we have the whole AOM, the whole archive of the Order of St. John, the collection that we have in Malta. We have a microfilm of it in Malta and also in the USA. I can say that I've learned a lot from that project. I practically went through every volume of the AOM.
You must be unique in that sense, because lots of scholars have looked into it, but probably not from beginning to end like you have.
Exactly. The pity, as I said, that you're sort of like skimming. A production thing, you know, you have to carry on. But, I mean, even on a national basis, I believe that it was something fantastic. It was something that, you know, really, really worthwhile doing.
You mentioned also the importance of private collections. And, of course, another project which you were involved in was the examination of the cartographic collection of Dr. Albert Ganado. And is an important example and perhaps a model, perhaps, for other people. I mean, he's the only one. I mean, there are other people who have given an amount of their collections either to the university library or to the Curia or whatever. But this was a very important moment, I think.
Yes, I think in the recent past, it has been the most significant
donation
between a private individual, a private family in Malta, and the state. Again, I got involved in this. We needed to draw up a catalogue of the collection, and not just a catalogue, we needed to describe quite in some detail every single map in the Albert Ganado collection prior to it being handed over to the state. Again, this is another area of militancia, an area which more or less is not all that well known. It is now coming more into the forefront since you had this donation, you know, and also publications by Albert Ganado and by other people as well. Incidentally, also, this has also sort of had a result, perhaps in an indirect way, in the setting up of a Malta Map Society now. So we have people, we have professionals, we have researchers who have set up this association, which is also affiliated with international academic map societies, and this is working at, you know, for the dissemination of greater knowledge about. It is fantastic. Malta is one of the most countries for which you find cartographic material. Especially after, from 1565, from the Great Siege onwards, the amount of maps and plans is incredible. So, basically what I had to do was to describe in a very detailed, as I said, we're talking about, you know, sometimes a map might take you an hour and a half, sometimes even more to describe. You know, there are things like watermarks, which are, these things are extremely important. They can give you a lot of information. You know, watermarks, the type of color used, the state of the map, because sometimes the same copper plate was changed, so you have state one, state two of the map. You know, if you have a map which has been cut out very often, that was the case, a map or a plan which is cut out from a book, you will try to identify the book from which that map came, the edition. Perhaps you would have different editions of the book and the map would be in different places. You know, it's amazing the amount of...
Jigsaw puzzle.
Yes. But it's extremely interesting. Again, it's extremely rewarding. And above all, you know, it permitted this transfer, you know, it helped in this transfer of this fabulous collection now in Malta we have. And the state has acquired a fabulous and extremely valuable collection of cartographic material related to Malta, and we have it catalogued, okay, we have it organised. It is a fantastic, for me, it's a fantastic acquisition by the Maltese people.
There is new library legislation, recent library legislation. How has that affected your approach to archives and information?
This is again a very important development. It is going through right now. I mean, in the past weeks, this legislation was actually being discussed in Parliament. We have been needing this type of legislation for donkey years. I mean, we have established the National Archives. The next logical step was to place our national and public library setup on pretty much the same, you know, organizational level as the National Archives. Very important. I mean, when you go through the law, the organization is set up, and the idea is to have a sort of a director general who would be overall responsible for both the national library and the public library system, and then you would have directors respectively for the national and the public. It's not just, however, a question of, you know, the directors and whatever. The approach seems to be fresh. We need to reorganize our, especially our national library. We have to set it up on a much more professional footing. We have to have a national library which reflects the needs of our researchers. And it's not just a question of history. Very often, you know, people associate our national library with history. Okay, there is a lot of it there. I mean, it is a historical library. It was founded in the mid-18th century. So obviously the collection reflects that. However, having a good, professionally established national library is not simply a question for historians. We need current stuff on Malta. We need stuff which is not printed, which should be available there, which should be preserved there, and which should be available for the current researchers there.
Geography, photography.
Exactly. Anything which pertains to Malta. That is the function which every national library is expected to do. With its limited resources, up to now, the National Library has struggled to actually, you know, fulfill that role. With the new legislation, and hopefully with new resources that would be made available, I am sure that our National Library would become much more in a position, you know, to fulfill both the historical research aspect and also, you know, current economic, social research, you know, that is so important.
I know that at the moment you're working on something called the bibliographic control of Melitensia.
Essentially, that is right now. It's, you know, it's my main area of research. One would like to do so many things, you know, but there's as you know, here at university, you have a lot of administrative work, you know, when you're involved in administration. But you try to find, you know, to steal some time for research as well. Essentially, I am interested in every aspect of communication in Malta, especially in the past. However, at this point, I have taken this aspect of bibliographic control of Melitensia. So, basically, what I am doing is I am recording in a bibliographic way Melitensia, which especially has not been recorded elsewhere. I mean, we do have bibliographies of Melitensia, but you don't have, you know, a coherent, organized system. Very often what you get are bibliographies, not of Melitensia as such, but of books, of printed matter related to the Order of St. John. Okay, there is a lot of overlap between, you know, a bibliography of the Order and a bibliography of Malta, but it's not quite the same. So you get a lot of material which is left out, because it's not strictly related to the Order, but it's related to Maltese. And as I said, there is a this is the exciting thing, you know, it's like, you know, the treasure hunter, so to say. It is so fascinating. Periodical literature, for example, foreign periodical literature, which really includes, you know, a vast amount of descriptions of Malta, for example, which are completely unknown. These were published in foreign newspapers practically from the 17th century onwards. You start getting the stuff. You know, it is incredible. So basically what I'm doing is I am looking for this material, both in Malta and abroad, recording it, where possible, keep a copy of it, you know, especially when we don't have a copy of it in Malta. Eventually, I would like to have this material, you know, available on a database. We might involve ourselves in some sort of project with the National Library. I see a lot of scope there. You know, our National Library is, as I said, you know,
should be a liaison,
exactly,
on a permanent sort of basis.
Yes, that is you know, where, exactly, that is where we're looking at, but. This is something, you know, that needs to be done. It has been left for a long time, and I am so much fascinated with it. I'm so much interested in it. And as I'm saying, I mean, you get this amazing amount.
The list gets longer and longer.
Yes. Political material, you know, you name it, and one day or the other, you'll come across it.
Just in the last minute that we have, the aspect of actually, how do you archive something? Nowadays we have what we refer to as modern technologies, we have digital, we have video, we have... But there are problems involved with that kind of, I mean, that kind of recording. I mean, we know well that photocopies of a few years ago tend to fade. The DVDs, then you can't use them because we moved on to a new technology.
Yeah, exactly.
How are we going to cope with these quick changes in technology?
That is perhaps one of the greatest challenges. Technology is so important. Technology is admirably suited for this sort of thing, you know, in different ways. We are using technology to actually have a second copy of the original. So that is already something fantastic, as I've already said. When you are dealing with archival material, you're dealing about something which is unique. Even in the case of printed matter, sometimes, in the case of those maps, for example, we have maps of Malta, of which only one single copy is known. Again, these were photographed, so we have at least, if something happens, you know, you have a digitized version. Besides actually having the text or having the illustration, technology also helps in the cataloging, you know, in the actual searching for the material. I mean, gone are the days when you have a card catalog, you know, you have to go through all those, you know. So technology is extremely helpful when it comes to research in the search facilities that it provides. The point you said, of course, is very real, is very problematic. What do you do when the actual, you know, the actual electronic copy
starts fading,
becomes redundant, you don't have the equipment? We are living through all this. I've mentioned the microfilming project, for instance. We are already, you know, facing this. We've microfilmed the archive of the order quite some years ago now, 8-9 years ago. Today we're talking about digitizing, not microfilming.
To move on to the next technology.
Exactly. Mm. So, of course, these are challenges which you know, everyone is facing. What we microfilmed, we'll probably have to digitize now. So the thing is, you know, very often technology becomes more available, more accessible, more user-friendly. So it is not all that difficult, you know, to transfer what you have to the new format of technology. But it is, you know, we have no choice. I mean, that is the way one has to go.
Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. William Zammit, for coming to talk to us on University Matters today about libraries, library information and archiving.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's programme. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.